Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the things that you're showing us what to pray for. And thank you, Lord, for the revival that's coming that we have been praying for. And Father God, I thank you for the anointing that you're going to place on your bride and your man-child ministries that will also bring in the revival. And we praise you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time. Lord, I pray the fire of the Holy Spirit become part of our ministry here in this fellowship right here. And that the gifts of the Spirit would be in operation. And Father God, I just praise you that there's times coming when there won't be any room in here to keep the people in, to get the people in. And I praise you for that, Father, because they're going to be hungry for the Word of God, just like they were at 9-1-1. The people were standing at the doors of the church, and the doors were locked. They weren't ready for the revival that you wanted to start back then. But Lord, we're going to be ready this time, praise God, forevermore. And I thank you, Father, that we will be ready. Your people will be ready to bring in this revival that's coming. And Lord, I thank you for the gifts that are going to be in operation tonight. And I thank you for all of the healings, the deliverances, and all the prayers that are answered, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You know, sometimes, Matt, I get to second-guessing myself trying to figure out why we don't have as many people on here as we used to have. And I know the reason is people are apathetic in their Christian walk, a lot of them. And that and the things that come out of this ministry, a lot of people don't believe.
And they, well, if you take a look at it, most of the people on here are not in this country.
Well, that's true. Yeah. There's two of them right there.
We are very comfortable in this country. So we don't need anything other than what's at the grocery store.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Does anybody have anything? Oh, there's another out of country man from the 51st state. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? I was listening earlier to a thing about Leonard Ravenhill. And boy, he was a powerful man of God. And he spent 8 hours a day just praying. That's what he would do. He'd just pray for 8 hours. What's everybody laughing? What are you laughing about? You're not laughing at me, are you? If you're laughing at me, I'm going to rebuke you. No, I'm not. Hang on. I'm going to stop the recording. Okay. How's it going, Ben? Okay.
I'm doing very good. So I'm sure y'all are wondering about the proposal. Just to answer Julie's question, we were up in Gatineau Park. That's on the French side for y'all that don't know what I'm talking about. In Quebec, and we were at Pink Lake, and I wasn't necessarily planning on doing it that day, but I had the ring with me just in case. And it was at this hike for the Pink Lake, and there's this one part where it was like a wooden deck platform that was overlooking the whole lake, and it's called Pink Lake because it used to be salt water. And so the way that the water hits the sun, it looks pink. It looks a little pink. And so it was nice. And I was like, well, we're all alone. So I was like, this is the best time as any. And so she was looking at the lake. She didn't even notice me reach to the bag or anything. And then I just asked her and I told her and I said, you know, I love you, right? And then she was like, yeah. And she turned around and she saw me on my knee with the ring out and she started bawling her eyes out. Oh, yeah. And, you know, I was just telling her, like, I don't see myself growing in Christ with anyone else but you. I want to continue this journey that we have together in Christ. And, yeah, you know, stuff like that, all the mushy stuff. And so, yeah. And then she got super excited and she's like, I don't even want to finish this hike. I want to get back to civilization and get some signal so that we can send these pictures out. And then we told my mom, told her parents, came back, we showed dad, and yeah, that's all it.
All right, when's the date?
When's probably next year.
Okay.
She doesn't want to get married in the winter because it's brutal up here in the winter, but around this time next year, that's the plan.
Okay. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we ask that you bless Ben and what's her name? Karen? Karen, yeah. Bless Ben and Karen, and we thank you, Father, for blessing this marriage that's coming up. And Lord, let it be to you, that everything be given to you in this marriage. And if they put you in the middle between him and Karen, there ain't no way it can fail. And we praise you for that,
No
Father, in
way.
Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for watching over us, Lord. We want to keep you in our mind always. We can get excited sometimes, but Lord, you're our rock and you're our redeemer and you're our foundation. Thank you, Lord, for this new life you give us and let us walk in this new life in the way that you want it for us, Father. We're all for your glory. We thank you, Lord. And Lord, Father God, continue to bless our Bible studies and bless our minds. Thank you, Lord. We're actually, I don't know if I mentioned all, but we're reading through God's Vaccine. And that's something she's been struggling with the pharmacia and all that. You know, I told her it's a process. You know, she feels bad. She feels bad for like taking Advils and stuff, because she knows what I think about it all, and she feels like I'm judging her, and I'm just like, I'm not judging you. You just got to know that you're healed. And anyways, we talk about it a lot, and she's starting to even like get out of that, and you know, regretting a lot of stuff that she did, and she's been chasing for a lot of stuff, and you know, anyways, it's a process. Glory to God. He's good.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for straightening them both out in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Well, I'm looking forward for 2 years from now. Just a little youngin' running around. All right. Amen. Anybody else? We bless this marriage in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Father. It's going to last till they go home to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, together. All right. Yeah, Missy.
I have a testimony, but also a prayer that's attached to that. We had our AC, a new AC unit put in July last year. Well, yesterday I had turned it on, and before it got hot enough so that when it did get hot, it would kick on, you know. And I don't know if this is the first time it kicked on or what, but I heard it go on, and then shortly after that it kick off, and I'm like, that's strange. So then later I sit where I sit in the to eat at the table, there's the AC vent, there's a vent right there. and I really feel it. So I have to turn it off. I have to close it because it's too cold. And so I was thinking, it's on, and it's not like chilling me. And I put my hand down, and it wasn't as cold as it normally is. And it didn't, I didn't pay a whole lot of attention. I kind of thought it was, I'm like, Anyway, so come like around 8 o'clock or so, I kind of noticed it seemed like the AC was running and running and running. But anyway, I was like, I command this to work in the name of Jesus, so on and so forth. And I felt to call the AC company because I don't remember. We have at least a year warranty on it, or whatever. And so they came out this morning, and the guy looked at it and he couldn't find anything wrong with it. And he was at one point, when he was looking at it and all, he said, "So far, I haven't found anything." And I said, "Well, you may think I'm crazy, but I said, God fixed it." And then I told him, I prayed about it, and I asked him, I said, "Are you a born again believer?" He seemed to be pretty receptive to me saying that. He smiled, and he says, "Yeah." And then and then I proceeded to tell him some, about the roof thing. I said, God's done bigger things than this, and I told him about the roof, and he was like, "That's awesome," or whatever. And anyway, his name is Mike, and I think he's Hispanic somewhat. He looks Hispanic. But anyway, his name is Mike. And I gave him, I didn't have any more Sovereign Gods left. I need to get some more. But anyway, I gave him God's vaccine, and he was really appreciative. And So I just want to pray for him. What I told him, he said, he's going to let, he says he's going to write it up as if it could possibly be an intermittent thing, So if we have to call back, I said, we're not going to have to call back. It's fixed. God fixed it. But anyway, so, I gave him that God's vaccine, and I just want to pray for him. Father, I just thank you, Lord. Oh, I told him, I know why I said that. I told him, I said, this may have happened just purely for the reason of you coming here and me getting to talk to you, and giving you this book, And he says, could be, He was receptive to that. He wasn't like scoffing or nothing like that. So, Father, that's what I'm believing, Lord, that all that happened is because of your sovereign arrangement. And I told him about Sovereign God. I said to go on the website in the book there. And so, yes, Father, you're sovereign. You work all things after the counsel of your own will. And I just praise you, and I thank you for this. I'm going to call it a divine appointment because I believe it was. Nothing is by chance, nothing's by accident. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing his socks off, just anointing that book greatly, Lord. And just that the truth just jumps out at him, and he has eyes to see and ears to hear, and that you use this to bring him on in you in a greater way, and to want to seek all the truth, Lord, and not to be listening to what men say, doctrines of demons and all that other stuff, but reading your word and knowing the truth, in reading your word, Lord, and coming into a deeper, closer relationship with you, Lord. And I just praise you, and I thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. I don't know if he's married. I didn't ask him. I noticed he didn't have a ring on, but that doesn't always necessarily mean anything. Sometimes guys take their rings off for work and stuff, because I know Merle had to. But anyway, I thank you, Lord, for blessing Mike, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And then I have another prayer request too. This is kind of, Julie, you'll relate to this. There's this guy I met, this man, he's about 80, I think, or so. And when I went to with Merle to the donut shop last, and he walks in, and I'm like, that I've seen him on the rail trail. I've seen him on the rail trail lots of times. He used walking sticks. And I said to him, I said, "Sir, do you go to the rail trail and walk?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "I do too, except I ride my bike." And it's his wife walks out ahead of him, and he had broken his leg and they had to put a rod in it. Anyway, so when I went riding my bike yesterday, I saw his wife first right after I got started off, and I thought he's not far behind. So sure enough, so I stopped and I talked to him, because he said, "Stop and talk to me, or whatever." So I did. And I had this inclination to want to pray for him because of his leg. And he's still rehabbing from it. And I just felt to ask him, though, "Are you a born again believer in Jesus?" He says, "No." He says, "I don't believe in any of that stuff," or whatever. And he wasn't like really rude or whatever or anything like that. And then he says, "I'm a mathematician." And I remember him talking when I met him the first time at the donut shop, that he used to teach in a college. And he says, "I'm a mathematician." And what popped into my head right away was the CD that I got with Ivan Panin's Numeric Bible about creation, how gestational periods of animals and everything are in multiples of seven. And I told him that, and he says, "Well, what about 9 months?" And I said, "Well, it must be days then, not 9 months, but days, Anyway, like birds hatching and whatever." And that's all I said to him. And then he said to me, he says, "My wife and I are bird watchers." What popped in my head then? It was like the Lord was not gonna let him go on saying, "I don't believe." And like I told him, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus. He says, "I don't believe any of that." And I said, "Well, heaven's better than the other place." He said to him, he doesn't believe any of it. But anyway, so then he said about being bird watchers, and what popped into my head was this story about me seeing an indigo bunting in the park, and me going home and finding out what it is, and then asking the Lord, "Lord, I want to see indigo bunnings at my bird feeder at my house," or whatever. And I said, I was looking out the window that same evening. He says to me, "And you saw one?" And I'm like thinking, are you sure you absolutely don't believe in God at all? I'm like thinking, anyway, so I said, "Yeah." And then I told him about I was standing at my door and was thinking, I was just thinking that I would love to see bluebirds, and here comes one land on my deck rail. And then he flew away, and I said, "Lord, bring him back." Next thing you know, he comes back and lands again. And I told him I've been seeing them lately. And actually, my neighbor over here must have some kind of bird feed that bluebirds like, because I thought I saw one or two from a distance, and one landed on the line and then went down to the grass, and I could see that it was blue then. So thank you, Lord, for the bluebirds in the area, because they're so pretty. Anyway, so I was just like, I'm like, "Lord, you just continue. Every time I see him, give me open doors for me to brag on you and tell of you, because I believe the Lord's gonna bring him in, and his wife for that matter. His wife is a doctor. I'm guessing a medical doctor. She used to be, at least. I'm sure she's retired. But anyway, So I just thank you, Lord. His name is Gail. I don't know how you spell it. And his wife's name is Mary. I'm like, Lord, you're so cool. I'm just like, thank you, Lord, for all these opportunities to share you with others here lately. And just continue them on for all of us, Lord, because it's like when I talked to Mike today, I said, it just makes my day when I get to talk Jesus with somebody. He goes, yep. But anyway, so I thank you, Lord, for bringing Gail into the kingdom, Lord, and just tearing down all those walls of intellect and pride in what he knows. And thank you, Lord, for giving me more opportunities with him. You just opened the door wide for me to just share, because I know that was you. The things just popped into my head left and right to say to him, and it was like no hesitation. And I'm like, Lord, you're so cool. You're so cool. So thank you, Lord, for granting repentance and bringing him into the kingdom, that there is a God, and that you love him, Lord, and you fearfully and wonderfully made him. All this isn't by chance. There's an intelligence, what do they call it? I forget what they call it, but anyway, there's someone intelligent, and that's you, God, the almighty, wise, omniscient, omnipresent God, Lord, that sees us all and knows all, and nothing gets by you. We just praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Ben. Looking at them blames going up there. Glory to God.
I got a praise report, and I'm going to ask for prayer as well. I'll start with the praise report. So, it's been, I don't know if I've even told you guys, but it's been a month since I've gotten work with the new company that I started. So I've been, well, helping out my sister and whatnot, and helping out my uncle every once in a while. But there has been no work with the new company that I was sort of hired on for about a month. And so after this sort of, on Monday, I sort of got in touch with my last boss, with the last company I was working at, seeing if he needed some help. And he's given me work all throughout this week and all pretty much till whenever they call me back. And so I just want to praise God for giving me work, because I've been praying for work, and it came out of nowhere, really. I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to give him a call and see if he has anything for me. And of course, there's always work out there, apparently. Just not in the company that I'm working at. But anyways, I'm very grateful. His name's Mark. He has been, and he's a great person to work for. Just certain circumstances, I had to go somewhere else, and my coworker Sean, they've been a real blessing in my life, and I just want to keep blessing them. And Lord Father God, I thank you for Mark and Sean. Thank you for the work, Lord. Thank you for doing this for me. You continue to bless me, and I just feel your love, Father, and I just want to continue to love you. Thank you, Lord, for doing this for me. And Lord Father God, bless the households of Mark and Sean. Bless them with your spirit, Lord, to recognize you, not just that I'm a stand-up good guy, but that it's you working in me for the will of your good pleasure, and that you bless them, Lord. Keep blessing them with the spirit, and bless them to have this revelation of knowledge of you, Lord, to see you working in me. Use me however you want, Lord. I know you can do so much more than work through me, but Lord Father God, if I'm supposed to be used in some way for them to come to the kingdom, Lord, just guide me, and just guide my voice, and guide me in what I need to do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Sean and Mark. And so I will ask for prayer now. So Adriana, Karen's mom, her cousin, so Karen's mom's cousin, she what's it called again? Schizo, a schizophrenic. And she thought it was God talking to her. And this, well, demon was basically telling her to move to British Columbia and abandon her kids and go over there and do those things and run over there. So her kids grew up thinking that that was actually God, telling her to do that. They were thinking that was Jesus telling her to do that. So they thought Jesus was a bad person for her mother abandoning them and telling her mother to abandon them and whatnot. And so just recently, Diego and Adriana, that's Karen's parents, actually told them the gospel and told them who Jesus Christ was. And they started to, seeing Jesus at least as a positive person. And they're open to talking about him more now. And so praise God for that, that they see that Christ was a gift to the world. And so now Adriana and Diego are talking to them about, God, salvation. They talk to them actually on Tuesday nights. And so that would be tonight. And then so she's asked me to ask you guys for prayer as well for this, because I forget how Adriana worded it. It's just they want them to actually seek Christ, not just to save their mom, but to actually seek for their own salvation as well. They don't want to just be like, okay, you've healed my mom, I'm all done with you, type of thing. But they want them to be genuine, I guess you could say, relate a genuine sort of faith towards Christ. So that's what I'm asking to everyone agree with for me, with me. Lord, thank you, Lord, for this great revelation that you've already given these kids. They're adults now, but their names are Fabricio, Andreas, Daniel, Monica, and Angie. Lord Father God, I ask that you continue to work into them your greatness, continued revelation of Christ in them, the hope of glory. Lord Father God, I ask that you release their mom Nancy from this destructive demon of schizophrenia and any sort of mental illness that's upon her, Father. Set her free as a great glory towards you and a great testimony towards you, to awaken her out of these demons and these demented type spirits that tell her to do things. Lord Father God, give her a revelation of her authority, that for her to understand that not only are these demons evil, but that she has authority over them. We thank you, Lord, for the authority that you give us, and I thank you for the revelation of knowing that these demons are below us because we are seated in heavenly places. And I just pray that you give Nancy this knowledge as well, and that this trickles over to her children, and that her household will be blessed, and that it'll be a great testimony towards you, Lord, that more people will be drawn to you through this, and that more people in the family will be drawn towards you. I rebuke all works of witchcraft. I rebuke all works of New Age. I rebuke all the works that any curses that are upon this family to feel this way or to act this way. Lord Father God, you are not just a dream worker, but you are a miracle worker. We thank you, Lord, for your miracle working power in these people, and that they just don't see you as someone to ask and plead and beg, but that we can walk with you in salvation and holiness. We thank you, Lord, for this. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of your son. And we thank you, Lord, for letting us call you Father. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Lord, we just hook our faith up with Ben and we consider it as already done. We declare and decree it that she is free and that family is coming in, every one of them, in the name of Jesus. And we praise you and thank you for an awesome revival in that family in Jesus' name. And it's going to be a great testimony because we want them on here to give it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Anybody else? Yeah, Julie.
On the ocean one day. Father, I ask that you would bring the right people into this family's life, Lord, and minister to them the truth of the gospel. You have people everywhere, Lord, and I thank you for using Ben, Andrew, and anybody else that know them or who are acquainted with them, that you bring spirit-filled people in there. I ask that you pour out your spirit on this family and bring them into the kingdom, Lord, with the knowledge and understanding of the truth, that they are protected from receiving any more lying, deceiving spirits. And we break the power of those demons off of this family in Jesus' name. And I thank you, God, for showing yourself as a personal father, as a personal God, as a personal love for each and every one of them, Lord, individually. That you make yourself known unto them, Lord, that they know you're real, and that you are a God of love and mercy, and you desire them, that you created them for yourself, and their lives are important and they matter. And I thank you, Lord, for delivering these kids from all spirits of rejection and abandonment. We break power of those curses off of these kids in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that they would be totally immersed in you, Lord, that you draw them within the power of your Holy Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for doing that for this family in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. This is going to be an awesome testimony from this family because they're going to be blessed. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Joe.
Morning, everybody. I want to pray a request, Michael, if you don't mind. My sister-in-law texts me and she wants to discuss. She was visiting with UBM website, was reading about it. So I have an opportunity to let the Lord speak me through her. She's 70 years old, and her name is Frida. And I don't think she's born. No, she's not born again. She believes her husband. She asked her husband, well, she asked the Lord for if she's been born again. And her husband, my brother, have a dream and says she's dying. And when he woke up, or what she talk about it, and she didn't really mean what is it to be dead in self and things. So it's quite a few things she doesn't understand, but I ask for prayer for leading me into only speaking the word that the Lord wants me to speak and not try to convince her, but just giving the gospel. Thank you.
What was that, Julie?
I believe Joe's asking for prayer to help his. Is it your brother, Joe? Or your sister-in-law? Or both?
My sister-in-law.
Your sister-in-law.
Yeah.
For understanding about things on the UBM website and a dream about being born again or that someone was dying, Frida is her name. And I don't remember how old you said. I couldn't understand how old she is.
70.
70?
Yeah.
So 70-year-old Frida, his sister-in-law, that Joe just needs is asking for prayer to help interpret the things and explain the things that Frida has questions about dying and being born again and other questions that she has, spiritual questions or about God. Or however the Lord leads, right?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Amen. Well, Lord, we do. We lift up Joe to you and Frida. And Lord, we ask that you give Joe wisdom and discernment into what to say to her, and that she would clearly understand the gospel the truth of the gospel, and we praise you and we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that it's going to be done in a way that you won't feel threatened by it, that it'll be an awesome deliverance for her. And we praise you and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Joe, there is, David's got a small book out called The Truth of the Gospel, and it's in PDF form. I don't think it's in book form yet. And you can probably get that. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, it's a little booklet. It's called The Truth of the Gospel. I believe that's the name of it. Something like that.
Is it on the website, Michael?
Yeah, I believe it is. Yeah, Missy.
Do you mean the truth about born again?
Okay.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Truth about born again. Thank you, Missy.
I'm like thinking, yeah,
That's
okay.
not a little book.
That's a pretty long teaching. That's really good.
Yeah, Andrew, go ahead. Well, I
Thank you,
stand
Michael.
corrected.
Isn't there like a Bible track too, a very short Bible track? I don't know how far along she
Yes,
is. There's
yes.
that Bible track. I remember down copying
Yep,
that
the
somewhere.
simple gospel.
It's a good one. Threefold pamphlet, I think.
I probably got one laying down here somewhere. Somebody asked for us to go over that the other day, and I forgot about it. The simple gospel. Was it you, Missy? Missy, are you awake?
Michael,
Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
you mean the new pamphlet or just no? I don't know. I'm not sure what you're talking about. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's okay. Go ahead, Joe.
The pamphlet is called The Real Good News. It's a tract. It's on the website, on the left-hand side. If you go on to site, the site link. And there they show me all the tracks if you go on to there.
I think that I put something on the signal one day that was called the Simple Gospel, and it was just a giveaway tract. And I had Missy was one, and others that asked to go over that over here. I'm trying to find it right now. I think it's called a Simple Gospel. I could be mistaken. I was last year one time. All right. I'll find it here after a while. But you
Michael,
remember
was it
that?
something that you guys were talking about locally that you were going to print up and share locally there? Because I don't remember hearing about it myself.
Well, I don't know. We'll look at it later. I'll find it later. Anybody else? That was just a day or two ago. Anybody else? I think Missy was the one that asked if I had shared it on the outreach before, and I hadn't. And no, I didn't dream that.
Yeah, Michael. Yeah. I'm not. Oh, I know what you mean now. You never responded to me. That's why I was like, yeah, it was really good.
Well, I was probably busy. I apologize.
It didn't dawn on me what you're talking about.
I think
Let's see.
everybody got a copy of it off of that signal. A lot of people copied it off of there. I put it up there on Signal. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. I'll look it up later.
Yeah, that's what it is called. I'm sorry. I slept a lot since then, but it's
Well,
really
that's
good.
okay.
Yeah, it is.
That's all
It's
right.
by Don G. Lake. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Who's next? There is a verse that I came across yesterday or day before that I found in a book that I was. Can y'all hear me okay? I need to get closer to the mic. Okay, and the verse is Job 22 and 28. And this is another verse that has us declaring what we want, ourselves. Job 22, 28 says, "Thou shalt also decree a thing." How do you decree a thing? With your mouth. You declare it with your mouth. And what does he say? It shall be established unto thee, and light shall shine upon thy ways. That, folks, if you just look at that, that is an awesome verse. Because all you have to do, according to this verse, is that the word of God. That's the word of God. Thou shalt, that's past tense, also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. That's unto yourself. And light shall shine upon thy ways. Glory be to God. I just thank you, Lord, that we declare that family we were talking about a while ago is completely into the kingdom by our confession and our declaration in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that I'm declaring that I am healed. I declare that everybody here that needs healing is healed in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father, for that. You said if we declare a thing, and it's the word of God, it shall be established unto thee, and light shall shine. I'm looking for the light, Lord. I see the light right now. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm healed and everybody else that believes it is healed in Jesus' name. And not only that, Lord, the people that need deliverance are healed too and delivered in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. That is an awesome. I've never run across that before and brought it into light like that. That's an awesome verse. Yeah, Andrew.
You said that word delivered, and I was thinking about that today when I was reading somewhere in the Gospel of John, and you are delivered, and where did he deliver you to? Well, there's a certain verse in second chapter of Ephesians that tells you where you're seated, you're raised up with it. When a mailman gets an envelope and he has to deliver it, look where you were delivered to. You're raised up with him, made, that's a creative word, made to be seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You were delivered there, and it's a passage of a place that is kind of, I'm going to say it again, like a sanctuary, and you're in that place where God is, God the Father and Jesus Christ. And it's a tabernacle too that, well, so they're going to blaspheme that tabernacle in the future when we get to that 13th chapter of Revelation. But anyways, it's so cool that, I just never thought of it that way, to be delivered, like to be not only delivered, but you were crucified with Christ. So there you're delivered again, So, there is so much in that sanctuary. It's everything God is, because he said that. He said it twice, and he bracketed those verses there that he said, "Thus saith the Lord." And he's working on us. He's making us holy. Be separate, touch no unclean thing, and come out from among. You're having a conversation with God, and some of you don't even know You might not even know you're having this conversation with God, and it's, wait a minute, now that seems right. You know, one of those things, you know, they pop into your head. Wait, that is right, you know? I know you think you're talking to yourself, but don't let people see you do that, because then they'll and they might call you a madman, but you know, they said the same thing of the Apostle Paul for his much learning. So please let the Lord be pleased in you, and because you know he's already put you up there, so you're in the sanctuary of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ too. Like, I know you come home from work and you go, man, it's sure nice to be home, but he never left when you went out to work that day. You know, it's like the kids on what's those kids called there that sing the song there, you know? Everywhere we go, everywhere we be, Jesus is mine. What's those young people that sing all that song there, you know? Anyway,
people in songs.
Yeah, people in songs. these people, I think when you think of everything that sanctuary could mean to you, when it is God the Father and the Lamb. So, you know, it's the verses there in chapter 21 of Revelation, and there was no tabernacle there, but the sanctuary was God the Father and the Lamb. So it's 21:22, I think, in Revelation. And of course, we got the sanctuary over there in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, and in 6 and 16. And, you know, it's a promise from God the Father. It's love. It's the name is there in that sanctuary. And this is the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we rejoice that our names are written in the heavens, because those three are there, and it all focuses to God the Father. You know, hallowed be thy name. And you talk about having God's faith, you know, and he describes faith as a shield too. So that's kind of a thing that would protect you, you know, as a sanctuary, this armor of God, and to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a dwelling place. It's a lovely place to live, because you were asked to come to live there to have eternal life. It's just a lot of people think in a box that you get this life after, but the epiphany has to come to you. They got birthed somehow. Some of the people, you know, them Baptists think they're born again, and they got the epiphany. So why not get the epiphany of the eternal life that's in the way, the truth, and the life? And that life is Christ Jesus, and that's your sanctuary. And plus, you know, there's a lot of lovely verses to show God is with you after the cross and resurrection. There's the Emmanuel verses, which is, you got to be birthed before you get that Emmanuel verse, by the way. And because you don't want to be a sign, you don't want Jesus to be, you don't want to speak against Jesus, because he, you know, and you don't want to be rising, you want to be rising, but not falling with Jesus. As Simeon, the elderly man, said, now you can go to sleep and be with the Lord, for I've seen my salvation. And he's looking at a baby, you know. And what did he actually see there? You know, I often wondered that, you know, because he didn't have the full gospel. So, but he saw something. He saw he saw that he was a sign, and a sign has a name attached to it, an image and a mark. So you don't want the bad sign. You want a good sign. And, you know, there's a dwelling place that he called you into. You know, he don't say he didn't call you into Jesus, because then, you know, you don't want to go there, because he called you in to be a partaker of Christ. If you hold fast the beginning of your confidence firm unto the end, yes, but it's just nice to know that you're shielded in the Father, in this lovely place in the heavens. You know, he told you, you know, to put to death those members that are upon the earth. And then he lists those things there. So there is an authoritative verse there for you. And you know that these are spirits, fornication, uncleanness. People have a lot of problems with passion and evil desires. So put them to death. And covetousness, which is adultery, against such comes the wrath of God, is the verse after that. In, well, wherever it is, it could be in Colossians chapter 3. Anyway, so it's just a place that you know is there, and living is the word of God and active, which really collates well with the Job verse that we hear today. And it's kind of like God speaks something, and I don't know if we're like, you know, a little child sometimes. You know, you can tell this kid, my grandson, I can communicate a little bit with him, but he's kind of against stuff, you know. He's a rebel as a little bit of over 1 years of age, you know, and he tests you already. He doesn't know what no means yet, you know. He's saying, no, you sure no? And you better be sure no. So, you know, just to trust in the Lord and to really want to press into the place where he has you as that wonderful sanctuary he has for you, that abiding place, that abode, that house that's built upon the rock, and it's got all the foundation stones and all the stones in it that would stand against the wind and the storms of the world. And you know, when you're going through something, you don't really sometimes focus. Sometimes you could be in a gray area and pray against that, ask the Lord to help you to come against those items that puts a like a fogginess into you, or you're not aware sometimes, and get rid of that, Lord. And there's just so much that you've learned, and you know you can have a conversation like this with someone, and it's a good reminder too, you know, to have these things. And of course, the best reminder of all is something that's in the sanctuary, and it's the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in His name. He's going to teach you all things and remind you of it. So this is part of the Lord's name, and it's omnipresent. And he says that he's going to dwell in you and walk. So how does he do that? And if this omnipresent Holy Spirit's in you, then you need some life too, and he's making you holy. You got to be separate, saith the Lord. Touch no unclean thing. Come out from among them. You know, he's hinting at you in these things, you know. I mean, we're obedient. We want to obey God, you know, and we hear of things from the teachings that have been wonderfully given to us, and not just to the first person who printed these books, but it's reviving to us. It's something that was a long time ago, and then it got lost, and now it's coming back. So Praise and glory to God. Glory to God for everything. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Is anyone else? Well, we still got some real good news to go here. I don't remember what page. Yeah, dude, I got it marked. Got an hour to go into it. I just love this book. Y'all like this book? I do. This is one of my. This is the favorite. I think I had it even marked somewhere. Where would I mark it? Ah, there it is. Page 119, the bottom of the page, that last paragraph in there. Y'all ready? Okay, 119 at the bottom of the page, the last paragraph. Well, to make a long story short, Bob did go home, and he took a mark off of his front porch. The next day, when he went outside, he saw that the line had not moved. So he walked out in his yard and dug around in the grass, and all the mole crickets were dead. They didn't take another inch of that property, and that was a testimony to his neighbors. Those neighbors were worried about Bob's mole crickets getting on their lawn. But this was a trial. This was a trial for Bob, and he overcame it. And for years after, whenever Bob had ants, moles, or mole crickets in his yard, he'd run them out by his faith. Every victory builds on the previous one, and we just keep on going from glory to glory. Beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. And we're growing in our faith as we come together. We're on page 120, right at the top. We meet with the brethren. They share their experiences with us, and we think, wow, I never thought about exercising my faith for that. Well, folk, this link between faith and imagination is very, very powerful. If we would only catch onto it. I don't put anything past God, David said. Years ago, I was teaching in an assembly that was in a mission for the homeless when this young girl and her common-law husband received salvation. We prayed for her, and she confessed her sin before the pastor, myself, and some other people in the room. And she told us that she had killed her baby in the womb 3 days prior. Then she had gone to public health unit, and they told her that the baby was dead. They wanted to schedule a DNC, but during this time, she was running into the Lord everywhere, which was how she came to the meeting and got saved. And now it was 3 days later, and the baby was still dead. Well, after she confessed her sins, it came into my mind to ask her, is there anybody that you need to forgive? And she confessed that there was a doctor whom she thought had purposely aborted one of her children. But here she was coming to us with the same thing, and I told her, you've done the very same thing that you have judged him for, and you need to forgive and pray for him. So she did. She forgave him and prayed that the Lord would save and deliver him. And when she was done, we prayed for her to receive the Holy Spirit. Praise be to God. She had a very quiet, reserved nature. But when the Holy Spirit fell upon her, she started jumping around and praising God. She was just so full of the joy of the Lord. Praise be to God. And when she slowed down for a minute, I said, it's obvious that the Lord has forgiven you, and I don't see any reason why the Lord won't resurrect your baby. So she came over and sat down in front of me, and I explained how faith worked. And I told her how we call the things that are not as though they were. And all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them and you shall have them. I explained that we don't accept anybody's word of doubt or any words contrary to the things that we pray for. Amen to that. Mark 11:25, and whensoever you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against anyone, that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Now, since we had met that condition, I called my wife over to put her hand on the girl's tummy, and I commanded the spirit of life to come back into that baby in the name of Jesus Christ. And when we were done, we noticed that there was nobody left in the room except for the three of us. The pastor and the others there had cleared out like a covey of quails. But when we left there and I started down the hall, the door beside me opened and the pastor reached out to snatch me into the room. He said, "David, the Lord isn't going to do that for her. You're just giving her hope that she shouldn't have." But David answered him and said, "If I'm believing this, why do you want to attack my faith? Just let me believe it." And I walked out and left him standing there. Glory to God, you go, David. The next morning, the girl called me and said, "David, I want to go down to the public health center, but none of these people want to take me." And I told her, "I'll take you." Went over there and picked her up. And I reminded her about our prayer and what the Bible says about faith. Then I went over Mark 11:24 again and told her Matthew 18:19, "If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven." I also reminded her about enduring the trial of her faith. So we arrived at the public health unit and she told the doctor that she wanted to check again. Be checked again, I'm sorry. And he told her that he should have done something by now since it had been over 3 days. Then sent her back to the technician for another sonogram and heartbeat monitor check. After the technician had run the test, she told the girl, "Ma'am, your baby's dead, and we have to do a DNC or you're going to have blood poisoning." Now, remember, this young girl had only known the Lord for hours. She was a brand new baby Christian, but she answered, "I don't accept that." And the heartbeat monitor kicked on, and that baby came to life, glory to God. And that unbelieving technician turned to her and said, "That's a miracle." And so they came out and told me the good news, glory to God, folks. We just need to give God a chance, don't we? He just needs a little bit of faith from us, just a mustard seed of faith, of our faith. Matthew 17:20. And he said unto them, "Because of your little faith, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." This baby Christian had more faith than people who had been with the Lord for 60 years. They should have been renewing their mind all the time, all that time, but instead they were looking at one another's failures. They were comparing themselves with themselves. 2 Corinthians 10:12, "For we are not bold to number or compare ourselves with certain of them that commend themselves, but they themselves, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves with themselves, are without understanding." Now, if y'all can figure that one out, go ahead. Well, I believe we can. The childlike faith of this baby Christian would put almost all of us to shame. Matthew 18:3, "Verily I say unto you, except ye turn and become as little children, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." This childlike faith is what we need. And we need to boldly imagine these things with our mind. We need to be happy when we pray the prayer and not wait until we see the answer to rejoice. That's right. Do it right away. Philippians 4:6, "In nothing, In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Thank the Father when you pray. Believe you have received. Just see it is done and thank Him. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. Seeing that His divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life. That's the Greek word Zoe, and it means God's life. And godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us by His own glory and virtue. Well, where do we see that? Do we see it in the physical, in the flesh? No. We don't see it there until it's manifested. First, we have to see it in our imagination. We have to look in the mirror and see Jesus. Jesus is not under the curse. Jesus is holy. Jesus is not under sin. He's separated from sin. He's not under the power of darkness. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us, glory to God, into the kingdom of the Son of His love. The devil has no more authority or power over us. It's we who have been given authority and power over him. Praise be to God. You hear that, devil? We got authority and power over you in Jesus' name. Luke 10:19, behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Does it say some of the power? No, it says all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. You think the devil has power? Sure, the devil has power, but we have the authority, the exousia over his power, over his dunamis. That means we can tell the devil what to do with that power. But most of the time, we just give that power back to the devil, because Matthew 18 and 18, verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That is some power right there, and authority. You can direct that power to anything and bind it up or loose it. When we disagree with the Word of God, when we don't have the Word of God in our imagination, then the devil is able to take advantage of us, because we're giving him all the faith he needs to do what he does in Matthew 28 and 18. And Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. How many of you know you got Jesus right there with you? Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, I think this is a real good time to bring up that this is before the cross, and well, this is when they're still thinking on this. You see, these people, the hearers of this word that Jesus just gave them, they didn't go yet. So when you go into the book of Acts and you meet up with that Greek poetry there, in him we live, move, and have our being. So I'm not gonna throw this word around a lot, but it's just the sanctuary again there. So how do you move in a living sanctuary? Well, he's going to be in you. He's dwelling in you. You know, he's your proprietor of everything. You know, he's the one leading you. You can practice this presence with him. You can, you know, if he said it's created. God's word creates, you know, in him we live, move, and have our being. And Christ in you, the hope of glory. So God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There's a sanctuary in that, you know. And we're supposed to walk in that light as he's in the light. So, and the glory is there. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's a God with you verse. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the glory is the light. It's the light of that candlestick with a lampstand, whatever they call it over there in Revelation, and it lights up in you. We are learned people from the Lord, because He's giving you these testimonies for a purpose, and he wants to confirm them in you. This word of God in you. And it's a promise that way. There's a huge promise of that. So, there's just so much here that what Michael just read. We're almost finished this chapter yet, you know. And I was, wait a minute, we're going through something here that we want to get a lot more excited about, and you know, like. We want to digest this. We want this to be around us, you know, over us, in us, and through us, because it's God's word, and that's what He says. You know, one God and Father of us all, who is over all, in all, and through all. If something's over you, it's almost like a room. Okay, and if it's in you, then where else can this room be? Now, I know some of us are putting on weight, but I didn't think you were going to be a whole tabernacle or sanctuary, you know. I don't think you're the building. It's the building that holds you, you know, and He's walking through you, and He's already put you in heavenly places, you know. He raised you up with Him. You know, if Paul's teaching this to these Ephesians, you know, if he's teaching it to the Ephesians, and he's telling them that, look, you're already raised up with Him. You know, like he's not fabricating something here. You know, you just go to the book before that, and Galatia 2:20, you're crucified with Him. You know, I have been crucified with Christ, and he's giving them a learning here. Learning is every single one of the seven lights in your candlestick. You know, there's knowledge, wisdom. There's the fear of the Lord, the strength of the Lord in there. There's even there is a knowledge base to it, but it's a living spirit, you know, and it's also holy. But all of the fundamentals of every single one of these lights has to have the power or the fuel of the Holy Spirit, the anointed oil to run them all. Now the Spirit is holy, but it's in every place, and it's on us and in us. So I just had to say something, because I just like that verse in Acts, you know, the Greek poetry one there. In Him we live, move, and have our being. Like, that's an in, you know. that's a place. It's a place that He even told you, you know, you were raised up with Him, made to be seated with Him in the heavens, in Christ Jesus. Is He repeating Himself? You know, and now the very one who said this, Matthew 28:18, is saying something to us. And you know, like,
go ahead and read it, Andrew.
Yeah. And Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven. Okay. Now, we know what Paul said about being in heaven, in Christ Jesus, seated and on earth. Go ye therefore. Now we got a little more information than these people had when they did this, but they were fine after he told them this, you know, and make disciples. And of all the nations, baptizing them into the name, something to rejoice about too, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and to, and lo, I am with you always. You know, sometimes, you know, this one here was lo, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm with you always. You know, it's an eternal word, and it's an eternal life. Even unto the end of the world. You know, did I hear him right? Or, you know, like, how many times we fumble the ball here on this, those words? Lo, I am always, I am with you, all with you. You know, that's Emmanuel. That's Emmanuel, yeah, God with us, but it's Emmanuel in 3 and 3 of Colossians, you know. For ye died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now that's the sanctuary there. God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know. Maybe we're the ones who need cleaning here. Come on. You know, and he's doing it. You know, and this is the word that activates you to do it. For no word of God shall be void of power, yes, but living is the word of God, and active, and that's even active, and in him we live, move, and have our being. I'm not lying. It's in the Bible, but it's as a covenant person. This has to be put in your mind, written there, and in your heart. And you have to open this mouth and confess it and be enlarged in your heart. And this is Romans, where he says, if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, you shall be saved. And plus, because you said that, he's also saying to you, today is the day of your salvation. At the same time, because he's speaking to you that. This is the season when I hearken to you. I hearken to you. I save you. I save you from this portion of your dash of your life, because you're on a journey. Everyone's on this journey, and you have to see the impossibility of the other side not having accomplishing anything towards you now. That's what the Lord is actually telling us. And I don't know if I need a kick in the head or something. I don't know. You know, it's just amazing. You know, I think, you know, when you go from 30 to 60, it maybe there's some sort of activity there when you go from star to moon. Go, I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. You know, how excited you got when you were saved. How excited would you get when you have double the fruit of 60? How excited would you get to have 90 or 100? You know, how quickly can God do this? If you got a Holy Spirit and he's going to teach you all things and remind you of everything. How many times have we been in a Bible study? I just have to look up that word again back there in Job. You know, it needs. I know that this word is a creative word, and we speak it so nonchalantly, but it you have it down, you know? You have some words down already, people. And I don't know if God just has to give us the boost or something, you know? So I'm excited. That's all. Praise and glory to God for all things. Praise
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. You know, these scriptures, we need to get them down in our heart. And how do you do that? Well, you meditate on them. And you say them, you meditate. What does this mean? What does this part mean? What does this part mean? And that'll get it in your heart. And then you can start declaring those. Amen. Let's see, where did I stop at? 1818. Oh gosh, y'all gonna make me get up here close to the microphone.
It was right after the Matthew 28 verse on 122.
Okay, I'm gonna quote that one again. And Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, "All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore," who? Us. "Go ye," that's us, "and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them," this is our job, "to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Yeah, go ahead, Andrew. I figured I'd get a hand.
You know, observe. That's a visual word. And we don't, it's not by sight for us, but by faith. So you got to convert that to a faithful faith. Because we observe differently from everyone. Not by sight, but by faith. So if it's by faith, everywhere you see this visual word, you know, but we all with an unveiled face. So this visual word is the faith of you being with the Father and with the Son, being made by the Father constantly, so that we can observe faithfully. You know, if it's the gift of the Spirit, faith, there's no observe in this, in Galatia, the fruits of the Spirit of God. There's no observe, there's faithfulness. So, yeah, that's all I just wanted to say about that observe word, because, you know, they say, "Oh, well, it's something we got to do, you know." Well, it's something you do because it's part of discipleship to do, to
Amen.
learn things and to do them. But, you know, when you get constantly attacked with this, you know, but when God sets up the inventory and sets up the meetings of these things, they come to pass wonderfully, always successful. And of course, maybe there is something that God wants to do too, you know, where we have to ask about it, you know, because his ways are above our ways and his thoughts are above our thoughts. And I don't want to put any confusion in anything here, but the command is still here. You know, he underlined the wonderful parts here. So praise and glory to God.
Amen. And then David goes on and says, "The Lord has delegated his authority to us." But we spend too much time in the imaginations of our heart giving that authority to the devil. And if the Lord says, "All authority hath been given unto me," then that does not leave any for the devil. You get that? Jesus has delegated it to you and me. And we give it to the devil through unbelief. Did you know that unbelief is faith in the devil and the curse? And unbelief gives the devil authority over us. What is that? Proverbs 18:21. Life, death, and life are in the power of the tongue. You reap the benefits of it. Something like that. When Adam disagreed with God, he gave authority to the devil and fell under the curse. Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? Adam had been given authority over all of God's creation, but Adam obeyed the devil and became a servant to the devil. He made the devil his Lord. And when we agree with the curse, which is the things that are, instead of calling the things that are not as though they were, we're giving the devil authority. And I believe if you will practice imagining that this word is true, God will use that to empower your faith to manifest signs and wonders. Can there be anything wrong with that? Well, Father, we thank you for your gifts. Lord, we thank you for the word that you're putting into our hearts. And Father, please finish the good work that you've started in us and let us walk in the steps of our Lord Jesus and let us be vessels through whom he can flow and let us manifest our sonship. Amen. And God, we praise you for this and we trust you and we believe you. And we know that the greater works are going to be fulfilled through us. God bless you, saints. Thank you, Jesus. This chapter and the next five or six chapters is the best ones in the book, in my opinion. That's just in my opinion now. I'm just saying what Jesus said. All right. Anybody got any comments? Any declarations? I declare that everybody in this outreach and those listening are going to come into this authority that he has given us already at the beginning of time. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to keep it in our minds all the time that we walk with you. You walk with us. You are in us. And you have given us dominion over all the earth. And as such, we take that authority and we put that devil on the run every day in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Anybody else got a comment? Okay. We got 30 more minutes. Look out now. Chapter 10, they cast out demons. Yes, they did. We have too, hadn't we? How many of you cast out a demon? I cast out money at many of them. Pray not, I'm sure everybody here has too. Lord, let's go to the Lord and ask his mercy and grace upon our study. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask your anointing, your wisdom, and your understanding be upon us, Lord. Lord, let your words go into our heart and let them manifest in us the life of Christ. Amen. Thank you, Father. And Lord, we know that Jesus can do all that's necessary in us and through us, that once again he chooses to speak and to do his works in the world. Lord, what he did in that first body, he's once again doing it. Going to do it in his second body. He's going to manifest himself to the world. Praise be to God. And Lord, today we ask you to give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Thank you, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise be to God. Anybody else want to read? Okay, Missy.
Take them.
Well, we're going to continue talking about something that we could probably talk about forever, and that's the real good news. It's the good news of what has already been accomplished, and that we're just entering into the works that were finished from the foundation of the world. Glory be to God. Hebrews 4:3. For we who have believed do enter into that rest, even as he has said, as I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. I'd like to change direction a little here and take another look at something we've read previously, Luke 1:68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and wrought redemption for his people. And his redemption is described as 71, verse 71, salvation from our enemies. Notice this is for his people and from the hand of all that hate us, to grant unto us that we believe, we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, should serve him without fear. Glory be to God. We've been delivered, folks. Now it only remains for us to enter into those works through faith in what he said about us. These statements right here are power. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. When God makes a statement, he seems to be, when God makes a statement that seems to be so contrary to what is naturally going on in the world, so contrary to what our senses are telling us, it's because he wants us to mix our faith with the word to see it come to pass. Only believers can do that. Only we who have a gift from God to believe can do that. Colossians 1:13, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He has delivered us out of the power of darkness. We're no longer under the dominion of the devil and his forces. You may be thinking, David, that's contrary to all of the things that I see in Christianity and a lot of the situations that God's people are living under. Well, that's true. But you see, our faith is what changes those things. Romans 4:17. Even God, who gives life to the dead and calls the things that are not as though they were, our calling the promises which are the things that are not as though they were, is what brings them to pass. And the Lord says that one of the promises he's given to us is authority over our enemies. Luke 10:19. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Serpents and scorpions represent different kinds of demons, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. So the Lord has delivered us out of the power of our enemies, and he's given us authority over that power. Do we have to be very wise to use the authority? No, but there is one condition, Mark 16:17, and these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. The only condition for being able to do this is to be a believer. The authority is to them that believe. You don't have to go to a deliverance ministry to cast out demons. All you need to do is hear the voice of the Spirit. It's actually very simple. Now, I know that there are people out there who have more experience, but I want to talk to you who are, I, but I want to talk to you who are just young in the Lord. You young Christians have authority. I've been casting out demons since shortly after I became a Christian. I was reading the Word of God, and I was putting what I read to work in the world around me. I learned a lot through doing that. Folks, the Lord knows that we make some stumbling steps as we're growing, but He teaches us through the things that we go through if we're willing to be obedient. In my name shall they cast out demons. Don't think that you don't do it because this list is for every Christian. These signs shall accompany them that believe. That's the only condition. All you have to do is be a believer. Matthew 8:16. And when even was come, they brought unto him many possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and healed all that were sick. Well, if you listen to a lot of people today, you think Jesus has already gotten rid of all the demons and we don't have to worry about that. I don't think those people are experiencing what's really going on around them, because there are no fewer demons today than there were in Jesus' day. And although I haven't worked it out myself, supposedly a third of Jesus' ministry was spent casting out demons. Yet you see very few Christians doing that today. Let me tell you, though, that demons are still a real problem. The more that God gives you a discerning spirit, the more you understand and see that we're wrestling with principalities and powers all around us, folks. Ephesians 6:12. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We're not called to wrestle with flesh and blood. Notice, he casts out the spirits with a word. With a word. Wow. Maybe you're thinking, aha, there must be magic. There must be a magic word out there somewhere, and I'm looking for that word, but I can't find it. Wouldn't you really like to know what that word was? Well, what did we just read? Behold, I have given you authority. The Lord Jesus exercised authority, and the Lord has given us authority over all the power of the enemy. You know, if he casts out demons with a word, there's no hint that he had used anything else but authority. Somebody else
Hang
speaking.
on just a second. You know, I read a story. I think it was this morning. They were talking about Smith Wigglesworth. They said he'd walk into a room, and if there was demons in there, he'd say, "Go!" And they'd flee right then. That's the authority he's given us. We just have to realize that we have the same type of authority. We walk into a room, and if there's a demon in there, you say, "Go!" That demon's got to go. He don't have any other recourse. Okay. That's all I got. Did you want to read some more, or did you want somebody else to read? Missy, are you there? Are y'all having trouble hearing me? Go ahead, Ben. I think Mrs. froze up.
I think she froze up.
Yeah, she'll have to go get her some hot chocolate or something.
She's back.
Not yet.
I'll
Go
continue on.
ahead, Ben.
The Lord Jesus Christ didn't wrestle with those demon-possessed people, as I've seen many Christians do. The seven sons of Sceva are a good example of that. Acts chapter 19, verse 13. But certain also of the strolling Jews' exorcists took upon them to name over them that had the evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew. a chief priest, who did this? And the evil spirit answered and said unto them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was left on them, and mastered both of them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. We're taught not to wrestle with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers. They can be a whole lot stronger than you and me. I've never physically wrestled with anybody or held anybody down or tried to force anything on them that the authority of the Lord wouldn't do. In fact, when you exercise your authority and the demons obey, I believe that's one sure sign that God is with you. If you need to get in the flesh and physically wrestle with anybody to give them a deliverance, then God's not with you, and there must be a reason for that. So we see that Jesus didn't wrestle with the demons. He just cast them out with a word. I had a very good learning experience years ago when I became involved with a church that also operated a mission. I had been casting out demons since shortly after I became a Christian. But here, there were more demons in one spot than I had ever seen. There's a reason a lot of people are out there on the road. Folks, they need some deliverance, and these missions are filled with a lot of people who are dysfunctional. And that's the way it was in this mission. There was a desperate need for deliverance. The pastor hadn't even baptized anybody, and he knew nothing about deliverance. So I preached the first baptism sermon they ever had and then baptized most of the church. After I taught the pastor how to do it, he started baptizing people, too. But it was just a ceremony to them. It wasn't an act of faith. They weren't casting out demons either. And they were having lots of trouble because of that. So I started casting out demons. Now, I'm not one of those guys who believes in casting out demons behind every bush. But I have had a discerning of spirits since not too long after becoming a Christian. The most common way I began to see demons was in people's eyes. Well, one day I was talking to a deacon from this church who had been asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that I was a good thing because he really needed it. He was a little carnal, and he needed the power of the Spirit in his life. He told me that some people in the mission needed deliverance and asked if I thought he should go over there and cast out demons. I told him, Brother, it would be a real good idea for you to get filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't even suggest that you go over there until you have his guidance. It is similar to what happened to the disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, Ye heard from me, for John indeed baptized with water. But ye shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days hence. Jesus told the disciples to wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit before they went. But this brother didn't pay a bit of attention to what I said. And of course, I don't ever become offended if people don't take my advice. The next day or so, the deacon went over to the mission looking for demons, and lo and behold, the Lord had some demons waiting for him. They were mean. A man named Jim had come into the assembly drunk 2 days earlier and received salvation, was miraculously sober. He really was greatly blessed, but some people need guidance, even after they receive salvation, because they do dumb things that turn them back over to the devil. Well, the deacon walked down the hall into this long room where Jim had been watching television, and demons manifested in Jim, even to the point where his features changed. I know that because I got to see it later. I've cast out a lot of demons, but I never saw anything like this in my life. This guy stood up like a big old bear, taller than what he was normal in life, and began to go after the deacon. He took off running through the building with Jim right behind him. Then Jim slammed the deacon through the thick plate glass door of the mission, as if he had supernatural strength. You wouldn't think you could ever break one of those doors. They were about 5/8 of an inch or 60 millimeters thick. So there was the deacon, lying out on the street, all cut up and crying out for somebody, anybody, to come get the demons off him, because now the demons were on him. Instead, he told me later that a very young Christian came by, who had never done anything like that before in his life, and just said, "Come out in the name of Jesus," and the demons left him. And then they hauled the deacon off to the hospital. After that, the pastor was called over to the mission, and the pastor's secretary came with him because they always traveled around together. So the pastor, not knowing much about what had happened, went in there to talk to Jim, and the demons manifested again. Jim jumped up, about to swallow the pastor alive, and the pastor and his secretary took off running out of the building. There's no doubt in my mind that if Jim had caught them, he probably would have torn them limb from limb, because he was mean. He wasn't the guy we knew at all. Let me backtrack a little here and tell you how the Lord arranged it so the pastors respected me. The first time I ever walked into that building, a woman never knew, and he never knew, stood up, turned around, and pointed her finger at me on the other end of the building. When she started prophesying about me, with the pastor listening, she said, "I see the word of God living in that man." And she went on in that vein, and that made me an expert of these people. So I don't know it, but the Lord was setting me up. And this pastor started asking me questions. As I preached, he would turn to me with, "Isn't that right, David?" He was looking for a confirmation, but he didn't know much of the word. I was doing my best, to be honest, and I would quietly say, "No." He would look at me and march off. He really liked to march around. Then, a few minutes later, he would march back and ask again about something else. "Isn't that right, David?" And once again, I would quietly say, "No." Finally, the guy sitting behind me tapped me on the shoulder and asked, "Did you say no?" I told him, "That's right. And if he doesn't want a truthful answer, he should quit asking me questions." Anyway, the Lord set me up as a quote-unquote expert. Through that, and also through some preaching I did there. Well, the pastor called me right after being run out of the building. He said, "David, we have a real problem over here at the mission. It's Jim. He was saved the other night when you were preaching. He has demons. Do you think you can come and do something about this?" And I answered, "I don't know about me, but I believe the Lord can." So I went over there and met him and the secretary at the door. And we all walked down the long hall into a room that led to a very long room, to the very long room where Jim was. When I turned to the room, I saw Jim down on the other end. I didn't see anything abnormal. And I didn't know that I was walking into an ambush. But I did notice when I was about halfway down the room that the pastor, who had been right behind me up to that point, had stopped at the doorway. I turned to look back and saw him and his secretary peeking around the corner. So I thought, "That's strange." I kept walking further into the room until I realized just why they were peeking around the corner. As I got closer to Jim, he saw me and jumped up and started manifesting those demons. Boy, oh boy, even his features were changed, and I'd never seen anything like that before. I never did become fearful, but out of my mouth came the command, "Sit," and I had to say it quickly because he was bearing down on me. And as big as he was, Jim immediately plopped down like a little puppy and sat there, completely docile. I could just imagine having to wrestle with this guy. I don't believe I could ever overcome him in his normal mind, let alone with the demons. I'm quite sure I would have been torn to shreds. The Lord's given us authority, folks. The devil knows that. We don't have to wrestle with flesh and blood. The key is to act in his name. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. "And these signs shall accompany them that believe in my name." quote unquote, in my name, means representing him. And that's why we study the scriptures. We want to be sure that we're not representing ourselves, that we're not doing it on our own, but that we're trusting in him as we are his representative authority here on earth. We are the body of Christ. The youngest Christian out there has this authority. And when even and when even was come, they brought unto him many possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word. The body of Christ cast out those demons in Matthew 8. And now Christ is being manifested in through his word. Manifested in us through his word. He's called us to be his body, through whom he can continue to cast out these demons. Does anyone else want to read?
Yeah, just go ahead. We'll get on to that next page and we'll stop at the first paragraph at the top.
You want me to keep going?
Sure, yeah.
So I begin to command demons to come out of Jim. Some of their names came to me through a word of knowledge, and in some cases, when a demon was speaking, I would ask its name. Well, when the pastor saw that Jim was under control, he and his secretary slipped in alongside me, and the pastor started to command demons to come out, too, in the name of Jesus. Now, when the demons were talking to me through Jim, they didn't like me one little bit. They were real derogatory, but they dearly loved the pastor, and I thought, uh-oh, something's wrong here. And not only because he initially stopped at the door, there was something else. I came to find out later that the pastor and his secretary were having an affair. Anyway, as I continued to cast out the demons, at one point they asked permission to enter into the dock. I thought, dog? I looked around and I didn't see or hear any dogs. But after we left, I learned that there was a dog on the other side of the wall. It belonged to a woman in the next room who was visiting her husband at the mission. But I never saw or heard a dog. And when the demons asked permission to enter into the dog, I said what came to me. No, you can just find the nearest cockroach and enter into him. And that was that. Did you want me to keep going?
Let's stop right there.
Yes, sir. 128.
Just mark that place right there, and we'll get there Thursday night. Sure. Thursday night we have praise, don't we? Yeah, we have praise.
Great.
Oh. Well, Lord, we thank you for the authority that you've given us already, and the dominion. You've given both of them to us. You gave us a dominion back in Genesis. And we praise you and we thank you for that, Father. And then Adam gave it away, but Jesus brought it back to us. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, that we do. We walk in that authority every day. And if it, and when things come up, we just take authority and run the demon and the devil out of there. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Let's see, there was something that came up just a minute ago. Somebody texted me. What was it? Oh, you know, I forgot about that. Yeah, amen. I got a song I'm going to play, and then we'll get out of here. Y'all mind listening to a good song? It's not but 40 minutes long. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Let's see here. Well, I'm sorry. I'll close it out. We'll listen to it Thursday night. Yeah, we'll listen to it Thursday night. I closed it out for some reason. I had a real good reason, too. Yeah. All right. right. Missy, you got your internet fixed. That's good. Praise God. Got that devil out of that internet.
I kept closing out and coming back in, and I was like, okay, I'm going to restart my tablet. That's what I did. And plus
Okay.
doing some warfare. So it worked. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. All right, I want y'all to believe with me. I'm taking my truck up to Mitch's tomorrow to get it analyzed. Having a little problem with some lights on my dashboard. So, Father, I thank you that when they get hooked up to it and find out what it is, it's not going to be much, and we'll be able to fix that real quick. And thank you, Lord. It's going to just that truck is just a mighty blessing. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for when I leave that place, I'm going to be getting 30 miles to the gallon. I don't care what the thing said. I'm going to get 30 miles to the gallon. I declare it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. And anybody else that wants to declare that, you can get it too, in Jesus' name. I was getting 21, and that's not enough. I need more. Thank you, Jesus. All right. That's about it. Anybody got anything they'd like to share before we leave? Yeah, heavenly mileage. That's right. I put a lot of miles on that thing since I've had it. I've got almost 200,000 miles on it now. 2007. All right. We got three more minutes. Anybody got anything they want to share? Yeah, Julie.
Believe with me
Okay.
that we're going to get rain. Father, I declare and I decree that rain is in the forecast, and I don't care what they do. They keep taking it out, putting back in, but I asked you for rain. I've been asking you for rain, and I know all the brethren there in Madisonville, in that area, they've been getting a lot of rain, and they said they send me some. So, Lord, I'm just believing you. You're going to send me some rain. We're going to get rain tonight. We're going to have rain tomorrow. And we're going to get at least a good half inch to an inch of rain. And we're not going to have any of that chemical stuff falling down with it. It's going to be clean rain. And I thank you for every drop, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you
Lord,
for
I
the
tell you
rain, Lord.
what, I just declare and decree that they will get 4 inches of rain in the next 2 or 3 days in Jesus' name. And I thank you,
Without
Father, it's
flooding
going to
us
be
out,
enough.
Lord.
It's going to be enough to fill up all the reservoirs in the name of
Oh, praise
Jesus.
the
We
Lord.
praise you and we thank you for
Amen.
that, Lord. Glory be to God. No flooding.
No
No
flooding.
flooding in Jesus' name. Thank you,
It'd
Lord.
be a
And thank you, Lord,
nice
for
rain.
fixing that chemical leak that they had in Los Angeles. Thank you, Father, that
Orange
nobody got
County.
hurt.
Yep. Amen.
All
Yep.
right.
Thank you,
Y'all be
Jesus.
blessed, you hear? See y'all Thursday night. Get your songs on. Get your guitars and stuff all and your harmonicas all tuned up. Let's get this thing going. Amen. See y'all. Bless you.
Bless you. Good night.